scripture reading comes from Ezekiel 36. Watch this one, because they tie together both the Old Testament and the New Testament scripture readings. Be alert to that. But in Ezekiel 36, we're going to start reading at verse 22. If you don't have a Bible, you're in the wrong church. I haven't said that for a while, have I? That's because all of you carry your phone up and grab it. I got my Bible! So make sure you find your Bible. If you don't have a Bible, start bringing it, because you got to be able to teach what I'm teaching you. It's not supposed to die here. It's supposed to be relevant enough that you carry it to somebody else that needs to hear it. Amen. All right? So if you don't have a Bible here and you don't know how to get it on your cell phone, consider yourself goated. I like that word. Thank you, Mark. We got them over here. They'll be handed out by my usher, if she's listening. They're over there. Thank you. But good. Anyone need one? Good. Raise your hand. I'm brave enough to raise your hand. Thank you. Good. Feel free to do that. Absolutely. I go, what are you going to church for without a Bible? It's like going to play football without a football. It's, go to hunt deer without an arrow or whatever you're doing. You're pretty useless. And so be encouraged, make sure it's your own. Own that sucker. Find these pages. My granddaughter blew me away last Sunday. We went to a sermon, it was a pastor's service, and she came home and she ran downstairs in front of me, and her room's upstairs, and she ran across and she came back. She had her Bible in her hand. She ran upstairs. Later on, her dad said to me, do you know what she was doing? I said, no, I just saw her run by with her Bible. She said, she was underlining the two verses that the pastor said in the sermon today. That's what you're supposed to do, unless it's a rotten sermon. If the sermon's, hold it, this is only half of it. If the sermon's rotten, which happens to all of us, okay? Some more frequently than others, and I apologize. But here's the point. Read Scripture. You came here to meet Christ, didn't you? You came here to hear from the Holy Spirit. You didn't come here to hear from me. If I'm not preaching the Word accurately or in the power of the Holy Spirit, you're wasting your ear time. I always told the kids in class, if you can read Scripture during class, I will never yell at you if you're not paying attention. And if you can tell me what verse you just read and show it to me, I said, not only that, I'll give you an A for the day. So I go, I'm dead serious about that. You have got to have that intimacy with the Word, and it's got to be in your hands. So consider you being finger wagged at you. Ezekiel 36, 22. Therefore, say to the house of Israel, this is what the sovereign Lord says. It is not for your sake, O house of Israel, that I'm going to do these things, but for the sake of my holy name, which you have profaned among the nations where you have gone. I will show the holiness of my great name, which has been profaned among the nations, the name you have profaned among them. Then the nations will know that I am the Lord, declares the sovereign Lord, when I show myself holy through you before their eyes. For I will take you out of the nations. I will gather you from all the countries and bring you back to your own land. I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you will be clean. I will cleanse you from all your impurities and from all your idols. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh, and I will put my spirit in you and move you to follow my decrees and be careful to keep my laws, and you will live in the land I gave to your forefathers. You will be my people, and I will be your God. Notice the initiator, the I will. Circle it in your Bible so you find it whenever you need it. Okay? Second one, John 15. It's up there. It starts at verse 26 in John 15, and it just continues on to the next chapter a little bit. Remember, chapter marks and verses were added after Scripture was written. They're not in the original manuscripts by any means, so don't don't let it bother you when you see something like that. Jesus is speaking these words, and he's speaking these to his disciples. When the Counselor comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who goes out from the Father, he will testify about me. And you also must testify, for you have been with me from the beginning. All this I have told you so that you will not go astray. They will put you out of the synagogue. In fact, the time is coming when anyone who kills you will think he is offering a service to God. They will do such things because they have not known the Father or me. I have told you this so that when the time comes, you will remember that I warned you. I did not tell you this at the first because I was with you. Here ends the reading. Now, I'd like to invite my visitors up to stand up here, or whoever's leading the children's sermon, come on up. And I'd like the children to come down, if you would. Oh, Sarah's going to talk. You want? Should I move this, or are you going to move it yourself? Well, okay, I'll move it to the side so the kids can. You want the kids down? All right. Kids, kids, come down.
Hi.
Do you need a mic? You going to stand?
No,
I know that. You're going to need a mic. We paid for this. We got to use it once in a while. Ready on that one? It's on. It's all set.
All right. Hey, guys. How are we doing today? Good. All right. I'm going to tell you guys a little story. I don't know if you know this about me. I'm a teacher. So I have to be in front of kids all day long. Except they're scarier than you guys because they're bigger. So I need Miss Amelia to come down. I didn't tell them I was doing what I was doing. All right. This is Amelia. Can you guys say hi to Amelia?
Hi.
Yeah, isn't she great? Now, Amelia picked the last song that we just sang up there. Do you guys remember? It was called Lord, I Need You. Did you sing that with us a little bit? Okay, great. Now, she picked this song, and we were just downstairs, and we were all, like, stressing out, right? And we were about to sing, Lord, I Need You, and Amelia's like, yes, we do, Lord. And I'm like, amen, end of the service, right? As Pastor Harma sometimes tells us. Now, Seth, come on down. Seth is also one of my kids, although except he's much taller than Amelia is, isn't he? He's actually taller than me, all right? But this is one of my students. He's a senior. He's old. He's going to be the bad guy, all right? Can you imagine him as the bad guy now? All right. This is someone we like to call Goliath. You guys know Goliath?
Yeah.
All right, all right. So guess who this one's going to be?
Who?
David. All right, we have to use our imagination a little bit, okay? This one over here is David. Now, Goliath was really mean, okay? He was going around beating people up, hurting them pretty badly, and no one wanted to do anything about it, all right? And then little old David, in heels and everything, comes up, and God tells David that David has to go take on Goliath over here. So Goliath, you go over there. Stand over there. All right. David, you got to go kill Goliath. Now, look at the height difference between these two. Come over here, Amelia. There's a little bit of a height difference there, right? Goliath's a lot bigger. Now, do you think God just let David go off and do this by himself, though? If David had to do it by himself, guess what would happen to David? What would happen to David? He wouldn't last very long. Luckily, Ben.
What?
Luckily, Ben. Luckily, God didn't make David do it by himself. He gave David the spirit of courage. Your courage. And Zach. Oh, wait. Maybe I wanted Dylan to be that. That's okay. All right. Come on, Zach. You got to be strong. All right. He also gave David the spirit of strength. Show muscles. Yeah. All right. Strength, courage, strength, and Dylan. I don't know why I picked Dylan for this one. Come on, Dylan. This is Dylan. And the spirit of peace. I don't know why. I don't know why I picked Dylan for that one. Okay. All right. Now, he gave David all these courage, strength, and the wrong spirit of peace. Peace. And now with all of this around David, guess what David did? He went in right into battle against Goliath. He did exactly what God wanted him to do. Threw the slingshot stone. Bang! He's okay. We're actors. This is what we do. And David was triumphant. He won the battle because of the spirit that God had given to David. David didn't do it on his own. He did it with God's help. All right? Thank you, Seth. You okay? All right. So, thank you, guys. You guys can go sit down.
No, they can't.
Oh, no, they can't.
Can stand over here.
Stand over there.
Pastor's not done with them yet.
So... All of my kids up here, all these students right here, okay, they're going to go off and they're going to graduate. When you guys get a little bigger, you're going to go into high school and then you're going to graduate. Parents, it happens, I promise. It's sad, okay? But I pray for my kids every single day, and I pray that God gives them the spirit of strength and courage and peace and confidence and wisdom and everything else, that when they go into the world, they have that spirit that goes with them. And so we pray for that for you guys, too. So we want you to remember that, okay?
Thank you. Thank you both, or all of y'all.
Can I sit down?
Yeah, you can. No, you stay over there, too. They've got a treat for you. I'd like to tell you to grab two. I don't know if I have enough, because we're going to feed them, too. So, but take one. Here we go. Ladies first. Right. Here we go. Real quick. Five. Four. Don't push. Don't shove. Be nice. 2-1-0. You wonder where they learn it, huh? From the pastor. I'm sorry. Yeah, thank you. There we go. Here we go. Here we go. You get to go seats. All right. These guys have graciously volunteered to be my big people's children's sermon. All right. David, come here. You're way too good an influence on this group. Guys, let's kick her out. You're out. You two, throw her out the door. Hurry up. Get her out the door. And then come on back. Rest of you. I want you to get your cell phones ready. We're going to destroy her socially. All right, you got her out the door. Come on back. Leave her out there. She's gone. Now we're left with just you guys. Good. And I want you to get your cell phones out. I want David destroyed on social media. I want her to be afraid to show her his face. His, her face. I didn't mean that to be this subject, by the way. All right? Good. You guys are being very faithful. I really appreciate it. That's the objective of the second part of the sermon. Now, you get to go sit down. Continue to play on your phones. David, come on back in here. Now, David has a momentary life experience. David, did you think when you decided to follow God and listen to all those good, encouraging voices that you'd get beat up and kicked out of the brotherhood and the fellowship of friends and family? It's not only that tough. If I turn them loose on you, kid, they'll kill you.
Okay.
No.
Please no.
Yeah, please no. That's better.
No.
I like that one. How does that feel?
Scary.
Scary. Have you ever had kind of bad social junk? Good if you haven't. I'm glad. Well, you got it now. So before you get home, you're gone. I'm not sure you even finished school. So good luck. I appreciate you volunteering to be suffering like this, but we love you. Thank you. Good. That's the sermon. Amen. You guys were great, by the way. Thank you. I go, we don't understand God sometimes, and we don't take the time to let the word really speak to us the way it needs to speak to us. The kids' illustration was great. Here's David, this heart of, mixed with fear and emotion and all the different feelings that David was feeling, and then she came forward and demonstrated that, and then you saw the world turn against her. She did something righteous, good, faithful, true. She was a child of God. She did that which God expected of her, and the world turned on her. We're not just talking the world outside. We're talking about the friends that she's been in drama with, friends that she's been in school with, people that she in many cases may have grown to trust, and they turned on her to such an extent that she lost the very close friendships and all the ties that she had with her high school experiences, and she was not only pushed out, but her name was destroyed and ruined. Welcome to our text this morning. And here's the invitation. I want you guys to go out there and do what has to be done. And like she said there, did you realize what it was going to cost when you killed Goliath? Obviously, I twisted the story a little bit for the sake of the illustration. The answer was no. How would it really feel in her life if that was happening to her and the kids were all sitting there on their cell phones doing everything they could to destroy her reputation and ruin her personhood and everything that she's built up over the weeks, months, and years that they've been together? Then you begin to understand the text. Because the important point you have to recognize, Jesus is talking to his disciples. We're going to eavesdrop on it. All right? You're going to get to hear his counsel and advice to them, and you're also going to get to hear what he's doing to help them, because she can't stay out there all alone and survive. In one sense, if I had had a few more kids, I would have sent Hope and Mercy and all four people that were around her with her out there, because although she's alone, she's not alone. Scripture is going to tell you in a minute, she has the Holy Spirit with her. And so that is those examples that Sarah gave, that all the different guys that lined up around her, behind her, gave her the strength and the courage to take down Goliath. That's the work of the Holy Spirit in your life. Only you're going to feel all alone on the outside of the door unless you've had personal and intimate communication and experience with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is not an intellectual study. He is the third person of the Trinity. He's not something that just hangs out there and you say, I read the story about flames on the head and noisy wind coming through the building, and I know all that stuff. The question is the Holy Spirit burning in your heart? Because you may find yourself as lonely and alone as she was out there when I threw her out from the group. And the only thing she's going to have to carry her through those moments and times are those things that God has given her to equip her to deal with the Goliaths, the wretchedness, the wickedness of things and people in her life. And so you begin to understand. That's why I said it was an illustration to help us be and grapple with the text that we find in John 15. So I want you to notice the very points that are being made here in John 15. It says, when the comforter, different words. Now, the word in the Greek is paraclete. They don't have a perfect definition in English because it implies so much that you'll find in some biblical translations, you'll find the word comforter. You'll find the word defense lawyer. You'll define the word Ben Madlock. I guess I wrote that in there. Wouldn't you love a Ben Madlock on your trial? He never loses. All right. I don't know why I watch it if I've ever watched the show. Why would I watch it? I know the end. Ben's going to win. Yeah, she didn't do it. He didn't do it. But you have to understand the Holy Spirit, literally, the word means paraclete, comforter, intercessor, helper. All those things. Why? Because she's on the other side of the door all alone. On this side, when she was just fighting Goliath, she had these three illustrations and these young men giving her hope and encouragement and the different things they were doing for her. But out there, she doesn't know what she's going to need. All right? She doesn't know what even to anticipate. Those guys are heading off to college. If you've ever been to college, You anticipated one thing, and at some times turned around and bit you in a totally different direction. You thought it was going to be this, and it turned out to be that. Sometimes good, sometimes horrible. But that's the point, that when the Holy Spirit comes into her life and she is forced to deal with circumstances in her life where she may find herself all alone in the college dorm, dumped by a boyfriend or three friends or acquaintances, dealing with struggles in her life and maybe financial and who knows what that she can't even anticipate. Here's the word that he points out, when the Comforter, whom I will send to her, all right, this is her, she's representing the disciples now, who I will send to you from near the Father, from the Father, I'm sorry, I'm reading off my Greek interpretation, my Greek translation, the Spirit of Truth. Now notice, not only do we learn that the Holy Spirit is all these paraclete things, we also learn he's going to tell her the truth. David, where are you? You're going to make it. You're just fine. Don't you doubt for a second. I will never leave you nor forsake you. And even though you're going to feel all alone and you're going to have a social wave of injustice thrown at you, I will be there for you. And he points out, I am going to tell you the truth. You won the battle. That's why they hate you. They hate you because they hated me first. And you begin to understand that's what God is saying just in this verse 26. The Spirit of Truth that comes from the Father, and he's going to testify about Jesus. Do you ever wonder what it means to be filled with the Holy Spirit? It means you can't stop talking about Jesus. Forget all the other stuff for a moment. Why did Jesus say, I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit? Right here, he points it out. He's going to testify and bear witness about me. And guess what? You're not going to be able to stop. You're going to take on the next Goliath. And you're going to risk the next social outcast moment. And you're going to win because you have the Holy Spirit on your side. And that's what I want to get you ready for. We got Pentecost next weekend. And we've got different things happening. And so you have to understand the message that God is giving us through Christ here. He's getting these disciples ready. You know what was going to happen with the disciples. They're in a point in the ministry where they don't even understand. You know the cross. You know the ascension. You know the resurrection. You can sit here and go, well, being a David isn't that big a deal. And I go, yes, it is. Because you don't know what you're going to have to deal with this week. Someone just stole my car. Someone just broke into my house. I just found out the government took all the money I had in the bank. I just found out I've got this wretched, nasty disease eating away at my gut or my lung or my leg or someplace else. You have no idea what you're going to be dealing with. And here's the message. I will give you the paraclete. I will send you the comforter. I will be there with you, David. And even though it feels sometimes like you're all alone, because nobody stood with David out there on the battlefield. In real life, we didn't see three strong young men standing around her, giving her hope, encouragement, and whatever else they were giving her. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. And here's the neat part. She will kill the next Goliath also. And it may eventually cost her life. And this is the part she may not want to hear. They will want to kill you, but I'm not that worried about that because you're coming to heaven with me. The only thing the Holy Spirit worries about is whether you know Jesus Christ and you're filled with the presence of the Holy Spirit and he just keeps putting deeper and fuller understanding of who Jesus is, what he has done for you, and what he's doing for you now. I asked in Bible study, I said, how many of you have this information in your head? But how many of you actually know Christ? If you don't know the Holy Spirit, who are you going to talk to out there? Is it okay, oh, Holy Spirit, you're going to have to help me. Now, I ain't got any words. I dropped my stone. I don't even know what to throw. Don't worry, kid, I'll get you a stone. And you begin to understand, oh, Lord, you're going to help me aim. Jesus, send the Holy Spirit because I'm scared to death. And I go, that's what we're trying to learn. Well, the disciples had to learn that too. This was not new. This was something they just didn't fully comprehend. And so you go from there, and it says the Spirit of Truth that goes out from the Father, not only will he tell you the truth, and then it goes, you must also testify. Not only does she have to go out there, deal with the world all alone, she's got to testify, I killed Goliath. And my friends all turned on me. But I will continue to do what the Lord and the Holy Spirit call me to do. I am willing to pay the price. That's what this verse is trying to communicate. He's speaking it into the disciples' hearts. He's speaking it into your heart. And the question is, when you go out the door, does the Holy Spirit go with you? And do you understand? Because if you haven't read chapters, I think it's 14, 15, 16 in the Gospel of John, you got more information about the Holy Spirit than in most other parts of the Bible. Read about it. Read about what he does. Read about who he is. Okay? It's kind of interesting because all he wants to talk about is Jesus. All right? And when he's in your life and filling you up, you're going to find yourself wanting more and more of Jesus in your life, or you want to share more and more of Jesus with those around you. And so the point ultimately when Jesus gets done with this little section is, has he equipped and are the disciples to ready to receive the Comforter? The answer was no. What happened to him on Pentecost? They were stunned. He said, you're going to receive the Holy Spirit. It's going to come upon you. Yeah, Jesus, okay, yeah, we've heard that before. Yeah, sounds good. And they didn't deny it. They didn't reject it. They didn't know it. There was no intimacy there. There was no singularity between her or him or you and the working of the Holy Spirit in their life. And it goes on from there as it goes on there and as it continues on. You must testify for him. 16. And then I slowed down and I kept saying in Ezekiel, I will, I will, I will, I will. This is the neat part about your relationship with God. What have you brought today that God wants? What successful deeds did you do this week that have justified you for a moment in heaven? Did you do some nice things? Yes. Did you ask people for a prayer request? Yes. Does God have every one of those recorded? Yes. He does not let one of your tears hit the ground. He does not fail to record one of the kindnesses you show, such as giving water to someone who's thirsty. But in the middle of it, you still come back to the one truth. I can't kill a Goliath, but in you, Lord, I am more than a conqueror. She has to whisper that truth. I cannot come against the social media shouting hate at me right now. I hope those guys aren't doing it. You do know the illustration's over, right? Don't worry, she looked like she's going to get you, too. Remember, David did pick up more than one stone. If I remember right, he picked up five. So there's four of you up there. There's plenty of some. But you begin to understand his point becomes so relevant and so significant. Then he goes on, all this I've told you, so that, number one, you don't lose it. You don't go astray. You don't get talked about. You understand the very word. The word is scandalized, which is what exactly I did to her when I told all these people to attack her on your cell phone. She was going to be scandalized. She's no good. She's this, that. I don't even want to say the words that they can say about you online sometimes. And I go, God said, or Jesus said to the disciples, I'm telling you this ahead of time so that you won't be scandalized. And the second concept of that meaning is so that you won't be entrapped and you won't be enticed. Sin. Are you willing to give up? I should have never killed Goliath. I should have never killed Goliath. No, you did the right thing. You did what the Holy Spirit told you to do. You followed through on it. I didn't know it was going to cost me all my social standing. That's going to happen. And God says, but I've told you this ahead of time so that you don't quit. I don't want you to lose it. And he points on from that point. He goes on to say, they will put you out of the church. Go figure. Nice children's sermon, huh? They'll put you right out of the synagogue. And this is the part we didn't carry out, although the guys might have been willing to. In fact, by this time, when anyone who kills you, they'll think they're doing God a service. All right, I didn't know how good of actors you were. So I was a little worried about that part. But you begin, what? Remember, I brought her back in. I said, do you want this job? You want to come follow me representing Jesus in that split second? Did you know it was going to be this scary? No. Did you know you were going to get this kind of pressure when you went off to college? No. Have you ever had been hated by a bunch of people that you didn't hardly know? No. For the most part, it's been pretty balanced and reasonable. And on and on and on. Well, brace yourself, kid. If they hated me, they'll hate you. If you dare to kill a Goliath, they'll hate you even more. And they will destroy you in whatever method or way they can. But I have told you this so that you won't be enticed to sin, so that you will not be entrapped by their wickedness and their evil and their lies. That's the flavor of that verse in 17:1. Goes on from there and it says, they will do such things because they have not known the Father or me. I hate that verse. You know why they're killing me? Because they're ignorant. No one ever taught them. They just don't know any better. What is Jesus lying from the cross? Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. Well, we had to kill this David because she was just sharing too much stuff. We had to destroy her reputation because people were liking her too much. We had to ruin it any way we could. So we attacked her on social media. We hurt her. We let them slice her tires and. Why are they doing that? Because they're ignorant. They don't know any better. And so he goes on from that point. He says, they have not known the Father and me. I have told you this so that when the time comes, David, all right, you will remember that I warned you. Now she's been warned. I hope none of this happens to her in college. I pray she goes on with as much success and as much love and encouragement as she's experienced in the first 18 or so years of her life. But if she hasn't, she's now been told, I've warned you. I don't want you to be afraid. I don't want you to run and hide. I don't want you to be afraid to take down the next Goliath. I am all those things, those young men were with you in that illustration. And so you begin to point out, I did this, I did not tell you this at first, because I was still with you. And Jesus then is removed, he ascends into heaven, and he leaves. Then there's 10 days between the ascension and then the Pentecost event where the Holy Spirit comes upon him, and you start to go, oh, now I understand what's going on. Do you think you're any different than the disciples? Do you understand what it's going to cost to give your testimony? And if your testimony is filled with, I, shut up. It's the wrong testimony. The testimony should be, then Jesus did this in me. Then I received this from God. Then God did this. And God is always good. And I defeated a Goliath because Jesus gave me the strength. And the Holy Spirit put inside of me hope and confidence and peace and grace and encouragement and strength. And it goes on and on. That's the testimony. When the Holy Spirit is working, you can't help but talk about Him and talk less and less and less about yourself or about those things only that God has done with you and for you. Chief of sinners, that's me, said Paul. But God rescued me. If God can save me, He can save you. You understand? The Holy Spirit directs us always back into Christ, always into the work of salvation, always fully into the gospel. And whether she goes with those young men in their part of her life in the future or not, the truth that she heard today is that the Holy Spirit is with her. And He has spoken to her heart. And He says, I will not leave you. And I have given you these things so that when you happen, these things happen to you, you will not be afraid. You will not be terrified. You will not be shocked. They hated me. They're going to hate you. And even if it's going to cost you your life, please understand, I will never leave you nor forsake you. I'd like to tell you that Jesus is concerned about your life as you are. He's not. You want to know what Jesus is concerned about? Whether every man, woman, and child in this fellowship is going to heaven. I don't care if you make it through the next week. The question is, when I find out you or me are gone, is he with God? Is she with the Lord? That's the only one God cares about. Because your life is, like you learn in many parts of the Bible, dust. We are just dust in the wind. Right? Like a good song for us old people who remember the song, Dust in the Wind. Some of you who are young people are smiling. Thank you for listening to some of the old songs. Here's the message. Be your Davids. Do it with courage. God is not going to leave you nor forsake you. Every one of those helping spirits that Sarah created around her is always with you, and there's 100 more. When you understand the word paraclete, comforter, assistant, working in your life like the Holy Spirit is, then you'll understand God is saying to you, I have equipped you to deal with anything you have to deal with in your life that's coming down the road. Do not be afraid. Do not run and hide. Trust me. And he sent his disciples out with that message. And eventually, they owned it. It entered their heart. They tasted the Holy Spirit. They felt the presence of God in their life. And I don't want to walk around talking about feelings and everything else like that, but I'm not ashamed to say you've got to know intimately the Holy Spirit. You've got to feel his presence. You've got to understand the righteousness of God, not just as an intellectual word, but a righteousness that has been granted to you by the work of the Holy Spirit through faith into your life till you stand before God in righteousness. This David can stand because she knows who her God is, and she knows she never faces a Goliath without him with her. Pray with me, if you would. My Lord Jesus, I thank you for these young people, and I pray a blessing on all the young people in our congregation. I pray for all of us that we would learn that in the role of David, however we play it out, that you would just continue to accomplish your purposes. I pray, Lord, that you would help us to learn from the example and the wisdom that you gave to your disciples, that the same truth you whispered and spoke over them, you speak into our hearts even today. And the same truth about giving us your Holy Spirit is the same promise you give to us today. So I ask, Lord, not only that we would walk in the power of your Holy Spirit, but that we would grow with an openness to intimately know him, to understand and hear him, and move with him in accordance with your will. Teach us the love of your word, so that every word that you have in the Bible, in your scripture, would be a revelation in our heart, so that we would know exactly what your Spirit is doing in every circumstance. Come and bless us all, Lord. Be with us, and we pray. And just thank you for the day you've given us. It's in your name, Lord. Amen.